Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Happy weekend. I'm Frank Roche. It's good to have you along. Time for another Focus on Community, where we take a look at things going on throughout the entire Wabash Valley, let you know about things that are happening here. Kyle Hupfer, who's the Indiana Republican Party chairman, joins us today. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
So you're going to be down here, and actually, as we record this on Friday, you are here in our area before you head down to Evansville later today. So what's going on here in our area that brings you to town?
You know, we're just, you know, we are now in 2020 campaign season. So anytime that I can get out of the office and on the road is a great day. And we're just out meeting with, you know, folks. Rachel Leslie, who you may know from Terre Haute, has pulled a group together today for lunch, and we're just going to talk about what's going on in Terre Haute, talk about what's going on in the rest of the state, and I'll give a little bit of update on the governor's race, and you know, just getting out and meeting folks that are interested in being involved as we head into the November elections.
I don't want to oversimplify this, but a lot of people probably envy your job because things are kind of going about every which way in your direction as they could be. You've got a Republican governor. You've got supermajorities in the House and the Senate. And the state economy is doing well. There's money in the bank. is there anything that's not going right for us?
Well, listen, we can always do better. You know, the governor's run on and will continue to use next level as a theme for his, and we can always do better. But listen, Indiana is in really great shape. We hear it anytime we're traveling around the country of how well positioned we are to have AAA credit, a fully funded 20-year infrastructure program, you know, record levels of job commitments and capital investments over the last 3 years. Wages going up, as I mentioned earlier, $28.60 an hour was the average IEDC job commitment last year. So you're right, things are going great, and even the things that we're having problems with, we're hoping we're seeing some positive movement, like infant mortality, where we are at our lowest levels in 2019 in 6 years, and continue to fight that, continue to find ways for women who are pregnant to find good health care early, which is helping that as well. And so, you know, we're attacking things each and every day, but you are right. We are in an envious position, and I think it's because of the hard work of conservative leaders like the governor and his predecessors and our conservative legislator that has put us in this kind of envious position.
Indiana Republican Party Chairman Kyle Hupfer is our guest today. As far as this side of the state goes, you're on your way here today. You know, at one time, and it wasn't that long ago, it was pretty common consensus that this was Democrat territory over here. That's changing a little bit, and that's got to make you happy, at least as your position as the party chairman.
Absolutely. You know, we see increasing Republican support in the Terre Haute area. And really all of southern Indiana has become increasingly red over the last 6 to 10 years. But again, I believe it's results oriented. And as we talk to voters, whether it's directly in person or through polling or surveys, the response that we get back consistently is that they approve of the job that the Republican leadership in the state has done over the last decade plus to put us in a very strong economic position, so continuing to grow jobs. And, you know, really what the governor's probably signature accomplishment has been over the last, you know, 3+ years is to increase the training and availability of opportunities for Hoosiers to skill up so that they're ready to take these 21st century jobs as they come in, these higher tech, higher skilled jobs. And so, you know, thousands of Hoosiers are taking advantage of that in one form or fashion and you know, taking their own careers and their own opportunities to the next level.
Interesting that you mentioned that, because I just got a press release a couple of days ago talking about the amount of state money that's available through Ivy Tech to train people who need these kind of skills. And they're talking about the fact, you know, they have more money now to train people. And that's something that the Holcomb administration and Republicans in general have really been kind of campaigning on here lately, was to make sure that training's available.
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, as we you're going to see a campaign that we run that really focuses on how people in Indiana have been affected by the governor's policies in a positive way. And, you know, when you start looking at the data, and you start talking about it, you know, it's now getting down to the individual, looking at each individual, the individual who maybe didn't graduate, the individual that had some college but didn't finish college, folks who have, you know, been incarcerated, finding a way for each one of those folks to find their own path, if they want it, if they're willing to go work for it, to skill up, get a promotion, get a new job where they can increase their own living by their own actions. And so the governor and the Republican legislature has been really focused on making sure that those opportunities are there for any individual who wants to take advantage of them.
This legislative session that's underway now is about ready to come to a close. It's the short session. We don't do the budget this year. That won't happen until next year. But what do you see as the biggest accomplishments in this legislative session as we get to the end of it?
You know, there's still several bills that are still in flux, and we'll see where they end up. But I think you're definitely going to see some health initiatives, both smoking age and vaping age has been proven to increase the health of societies and other states that have adopted that. Distracted driving, you know, we've heard from a lot of folks in the public safety arena, in the road construction arena, where, you know, it is actually in a lot of ways worse than being intoxicated while you're driving, and the number of accidents has just continued to increase, and states that have implemented that have seen a dramatic increase in safety on the roads. So you'll see that pass. And then there's a sort of a plethora of bills out there to try to improve the health of Hoosiers. You know, healthcare is a big issue now and a big concern. And so you're seeing some things around transparency of pricing so the individuals know, you know, what they're going to be charged going in, and they can look at that and make their own healthcare choices based on their own research. So you're seeing a plethora around healthcare that is really positive for Hoosiers going forward.
I've heard a lot of positive things about the transparency and pricing. A lot of people think that's kind of good. Tell me, though, about why the big deal on smoking at 21? Because it's a federal law now, so why do we even have to worry about that as a state? Because federally, it's 21.
Yeah, I think it was already in play, and they're just ensuring that what they pass here at the state mirrors that from an enforcement standpoint. So I think it's a lot of around enforcement, penalties, procedures, just to make sure that they've buttoned the state law up accordingly. Similar to, you know, there's been federal laws on speed limits, but yet the states still go ahead and, you know, do their own, take their own actions around that. So it's more just sort of ensuring that the state scheme is in compliance and is putting that forth.
Kyle Huffer, the Indiana Republican Party chairman, our guest today. Talk a little bit about the one contentious issue that seems to never really go away, at least not for the past couple of years. And I don't know that we really got much done with it this year, and that is teacher pay and education funding. It seems like there's two sides to this argument here, and I'm not sure that either side's getting any closer. What do you think?
Well, I think that there's a lot more cohesion than maybe what gets portrayed at some points in time. I would say that first of all, you have seen a huge step function. We won't know exactly how big that step function is until a little bit more of the accumulation, but, you know, $1.6 billion has been added into the budget since the governor was elected, over $1 billion in the 2018 session. And what we saw was some significant increases in collective bargaining for teacher pay at the end of 2019. All of those statistics are being accumulated now. We do know that it was well over 93-94% of all teachers received raises in that process. And so I think you're going to see from that 2018 budget, the cycle is really 2019-2020. When that teacher pay ends up in pockets, because as you know, the actual decision, while more money can go into the education system from the legislature, the actual decision on teacher pay is made at the local school board level. So those school boards have collectively bargained with teachers, which teachers want to keep that local collective bargaining. We hear that all the time. So that's been done. You've seen pay increases in 19, passed in 19 that go into effect in 20. A lot of those were 2 years, so they'll get another increase for the next school year. And the governor in the state of the state has already set aside some additional dollars that he is dedicating to ensure that there's going to be more money going into to education. But the real test is going to be when we get this information accumulated and we see teacher pay, how much did it increase? How much of these additional dollars that are going to schools is going into classrooms? But early returns are positive that a lot of those dollars are going into teachers' pockets.
Well, the other big issue with education is standardized testing. I mean, obviously, I think we've kind of fixed a problem that everybody agreed was probably not the smartest thing, was tying teacher pay to the results of test scores. That seems to have resolved itself. But what are we going to do with standardized testing? I mean, we want our kids to learn. We want to know that they're learning, that they're being educated. But we also, too, can't seem to agree on how to best test them to figure out whether that's getting done.
Sure, and you know, the other piece that's in that equation is complying with federal law. You know, there's a significant amount of federal dollars that flow in that require the state to comply with their requirements. And so part of it is there, and, you know, President Trump, Vice President Pence, Secretary DeVos are certainly looking at that at a national level. What is the right scheme to, if there is any, require the states to do? Certainly folks like myself would rather them just leave that all to the states and just make block grants. But if they are going to be involved, hopefully it's much, you know, much less strenuous or dictated so that states can be more creative in how they do tests. You know, it's important to ensure that there is some metrics. Listen, in state government, a lot of the vast improvement you've seen over the prior decades has been because we started to have metrics and key performance indicators like a business would, and we track those things and ensure that the state's on the right track and that we're spending dollars in the most efficient way possible. We need some of that in education, certainly, to ensure that we're measuring along the way. But I think that there is a significant consensus that it could be much less than what it is today.
Governor Holcomb's running for re-election, and of course you never want to take anything for granted, but does he really have any competition coming up this fall?
Well, he certainly has an opponent, and so we will keep our, you know, foot on the gas, not just for the governor's race, but for, you know, the legislature all the way down to local Republicans. So the state party and the Holcomb campaign will run through the tape regardless of what the landscape is. But he certainly has worked hard the last 3+ years to connect with Hoosiers, has done a tremendous job, I think, with the economy, with job creation, with training, fighting opioids, and being very focused on the things that really matter to Hoosiers. And it's reflected in his approval rating. You know, I recently saw some numbers that had him in the low 70s, of an approval rating across the state. So he is in a very strong position, but there'll be nothing taken for granted. And we'll be working every day and traveling and getting out and connecting with Hoosiers to make sure that we're hearing from them what they want to see in a second term, what they like from Governor Holcomb, what they maybe don't like, and ensure that we're focused on the right things in a second term as well.
President Trump running for re-election. How big of a role does Indiana really play in this national campaign? It seems like everybody's focused on the coasts and the major metro areas. Not that Indianapolis isn't big, but compared to some of the others, it's not that big. So how big of a part do we really play in this national election?
Well, I mean, we'll play a critical role because I think, you know, once again, I anticipate we'll be the first state off the board for the president as we were in 2016. President's extremely popular here. The vice president is extremely popular here. So I don't think it won't be taken for granted by the Trump campaign. Certainly via their campaign and via the state party, we'll be continuing to talk about the president and ensuring that we are a quick win for him. But when you start to look at the Electoral College, which is so important that we keep in place for states like Indiana, which, you know, we've heard our Democrat opposition talk about trying to get rid of, I think that the Trump campaign will be focused on, you know, 15 to 20 states. That'll be the most important ones that'll be contested, and ones that are Indiana where they don't appear to be contested. They'll still certainly put an effort in, but it won't be the level that you see in states that are going to be close races.
And finally, Indiana Republican Party Chairman Kyle Huffer's our guest today. Obviously, you feel probably, I would assume, pretty good about the Republican Party in Indiana. But how do you feel about the state and what's down the road for us over the next year or two?
Well, I feel that we have positioned ourselves as a state for just tremendous upside. You know, we put our house in order over the last, 10-12 years. We've gotten to a AAA credit rating. We've continually, with a surplus, made smart investments in training the next generation of employees across the state. We've done a good job of recruiting new jobs. The key is going to be to continue to be an attractive place for people to grow up and stay, for people to move, and for businesses to continue want to come here. And we've done that with a stable tax environment, continuity and leadership and government, and a great skilled workforce. And so I think we are, the sky's the limit because of what we've done. When you look at us compared to a lot of our, especially our Midwestern counterparts, you know, we are just so financially secure that preserves us in the case that there is ever a downside, but it also gives us dollars to invest to continue the growth and excellence that we're seeing.
Indiana Republican Party Chairman Kyle Hupford is our guest today. We appreciate you spending some time with us on your drive into Terre Haute today as we record the show on Friday. And that's it for this week's Focus on Community. If you've got any questions about the show, you can always email us. And if you didn't catch everything in the show today, you can always go online and listen to this as a podcast on our website. And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.